Boker Tov, everybody. Thank you very much. Welcome, class 43 in our ongoing series on the Siddur. Today's class is sponsored by Estella Berman, Lily Feder, and Sarah Avihar in memory of their the beloved mother, Lonya Cronenberg, Leah Bat Esther, and may her neshama have an aliyah. May the family be blessed, all of us with long life and good health. And really want to thank that they're very involved coming to so many classes of Torah Motion, and that's really a pleasure, and I want to thank you. And we should have happy occasions to celebrate. Okay. All right, so we're going to start Ashrei today, and this is, you know, we're finally here. We're finally cracking into our Siddur, and Ashrei is the most important of our Tehillim, the most important part of Psukei Dezimra by far, as we'll discuss in a few minutes. It's really a beautiful tefillah, and I really have to thank all of you because you know, because I have to give the share, I have to prepare. And what I learned in general, but as I've said a few times, but especially in this particular share, Ashrei is so rich and so many things. I think because it's so familiar, we often don't pay attention. Everybody knows Ashrei by heart. You know, I remember when I was in high school. So Rav Tabori, our Rosh Yeshiva, told us once, he was talking about Rabbi Akiva Eger. So he says, you know, he knew Shas, like, but Alpeh, like we know Ashrei. You know, everybody can mumble Ashrei. In the... So he knew Shas like that. And then he said he knew it backwards. So try saying Ashrei backwards. So I'm without looking in the Siddur, hallelujah. Olam ad, he'll forget it. So that's what he said. Rabbi Akiva Eger, I assume it was an exaggeration, but I don't know. Some of these people are... Really, we're super geniuses. Anyway, okay, so why don't we start with, we'll share one Gemara, and then we'll use that as the beginning of our discussion. I hope this shows up correctly. Okay, here we go. Amar, this is a Gemara in Brachot, Daf 4b, Dalet Amud Beit. Amar Avalazar, Amar Avina, Kol Ha'omer Tehillah LeDavid B'chol Yom Shalosh Pamim. Whoever says Tehillah le David, we'll get there in a second, three times a day, or says it every day three times, Muftach lo shu ben olam haba. This is a strange statement, but if you say, you want to get to olam haba, it's easy. All you have to do is say Ashrei or Tehillah le David three times a day, and you're guaranteed, Muftach lo, you're promised that you will have a place in the world to come. So the Gemara finds this also a little bit strange. My Tama. I mean, not that the answer is going to clarify it so much, but my Tama. What's the reason? Anybody want to shout out a reason? Why is it that if a person says Ashrei three times a day, they're guaranteed a place in the world to come? Anybody want to recommend or suggest the possible reason? Okay, I guess we'll do that. If you want to tell me it's an alphabetical acrostic, it has all 22 almost letters of the alphabet. So if that's the reason, now why that would be a reason we have to discuss. But Gemara says, if that would be the reason, that's not such a good reason. Neima Ashrei Tamimei Derech. Ashrei Tamimei Derech is Tehillim 119. I've seen people know, and they go to a funeral, or they go, you know, in a unveiling, whatever, they go to the kever. So very often people will say a person's name based on the eight times acrostic, 176 verses, the 22 letters of the alphabet, Ashrei, Tamim, Eder. So each one of the letters has it eight times. By the way, the number 176 is interesting for whatever it's worth. The longest parsha in the Torah that we read last, Parsha, you know, Naso, that we read after Shavuot, has 176 verses, and the longest Masechet in Shas ends at page 176, Bava Batra. Now, that obviously has no religious meaning, because the fact that Bava Batra ends at 176 is a decision of a non-Jew, Daniel Bomberg, who put together the first printed Shas in 1523. But those who like to see the hand of God in everything, even decisions made by non-Jews, might find that interesting, that the longest Perek in Tehillim, the longest Parsha, and the longest tract in Talmud would all have the number 176. Okay, anyway, so if you're going to want to say alphabetical crossing, so we have a much better one. It would take longer.
Doesn't have to do with Potech et Yadecha.
That's the next answer. Very good. Elimishum de'it be Potech et Yadecha. So the Gemara is not so thrilled with that answer either, because it says Potech et Yedecha. Now that's a little bit easier. God opens his hand and gives food. God gives food to everybody. So the Gemara says that's also not such a great reason. Say Halal Hagadol. Halal Hagadol is what we say every Shabbos. Kili Olam Chasto. The Gemara says that Halal is so important. The reason it has 26 verses. Hodu Lashem Kitov. Kili Olam Chasto. Hodu Lashem Kili Olam Chasto. You know, got Noten Lechem L'chol Basar. Kili Olam Chasto. 26 verses because there were 26 generations from Adam, from creation till Matan Torah, till the Torah is given, the 20 till Avram and 6 from Avram until Moshe. So 26 generations, the world shouldn't exist. If not for my covenant day and night, God wouldn't have created the world. That's what Yirmiyahu tells us. So the world was created, like, or Rashi quotes, Yom Hashi Si, the sixth day, the sixth of Sivan. So the world by right had no right to exist for the first 26 generations, whatever that means exactly. So Halal Hagadol, that's the kindness of God that he allowed the world to exist for 26 generations without it. So, and that in Halal Hagadol, the great Halal, we say, no tein lechem l'chol basar. That's the same thing as Potech et Yedecha. It's even more explicit. Potech et Yedecha, okay, he satisfies us. Okay, here he gives us bread. So that reason isn't so compelling. So what does the Gemara say? Nope. The eat bay tart, it's got both reasons. In other words, neither reason is good on its own. That's sort of a standard idea that and the Chama Leibowitz developed greatly in Rashi. Whenever Rashi gives two reasons, I mean, neither reason is good on its own. Neither explanation is good on its own. You need both. So to here, the Gemara gives two okay explanations, but two okays equals a good. Okay, so that's the Gemara. Okay, so let's stop and let's discuss that a little bit. So first, what is the relationship and why are you saying Ashrei three times a day? Why should that get us into Olam Haba? I mean, that's a great deal, you know, like, and especially we know we can ramble but in 30 seconds, we can say Ashrei. So it takes a minute and a half a day and you get Olam Haba. I don't think that's what it means. Now, just by the way, to point out, This is probably the only tefillah we say three times a day, right? So what are you going to challenge me with? What other two things do we say three times a day? But it's not exactly the same as
Aleinu.
So Aleinu, of course, is one. And the other one?
Shema.
Okay, of course, tefillah. I obviously, the tefillah, that is separate. But in terms of...
Shemone Esrei.
Right. So I'm obviously the Shemone Esrei. That's really a different obligation, I guess, as we've said many times. Tefillah is separate from the rest of our prayer book. Our most of our prayer book is not what we would call prayer. And most of our prayer book is praise. Praise is not prayer. That's the Rav Soloveitchik mentioned many times. Prayer is, and even the Shemone Esrei, only the 13 middle brachot are prayer. Praising God is very nice. You're not supposed to pray unless you praise God. But prayer means asking God for our needs. And as the Ramban claims, if we don't have needs, we don't have to daven. That's no obligation to pray. Prayer is a gift of God. It's not an obligation. Only the Ramban feels it's an obligation. But yes, three times a day. But outside of that, I mean, that's a big outside of that. I hear that. But we have Aleinu and we have, of course, Shema. Now, Shema, we say Shema? Maybe you say Shema four times. You say the mitzvah in the Torah is to say it twice. B'shavucha u'kumecha. We say it at Shachrit and Mari. And then we have, as we discussed many weeks ago, the Olam Yehi Adem Yirei Shema Meseter u'begalui. We say right at the beginning, some people say the first paragraph of Shema, although I think most don't, just say the first pasuk, and then Shema Yisrael al Hamita, before you go to bed. But that's only twice in davening. Aleinu, which of course is a much later addition. Aleinu was probably only began to make it into our Siddur probably in the 14th century. Aleinu, of course, comes from the Machzor. The introduction to Malchiyot, that's what Aleinu is. Aleinu is Malchiyot. It became so important. And so, we'll have to discuss why that was chosen in the Middle Ages to be put in our Siddur. Now, I don't know if any of you have davened in the shul in Europe, and I don't know if they do this in all, I imagine many of you have, and I don't know if they do this in all shuls, but the first time I ever davened in a shul in Europe, I was like, what is going on here? They did not say Aleinu after Mincha. Has anybody experienced that? They daven mincha. They don't say aleinu.
Yeah, in Frankfurt, they didn't say it. They only said it if they combined mincha and maariv. They only said aleinu at the end of the second tefillah. Aleinu is the end of a continual prayer service.
That's correct. In other words,
for example, I made a point in my shul of, and not everyone agrees with me, but on Yom Kippur, when they take a break, we say aleinu before the break.
Uh-huh.
Because normally you don't say aleinu.
Right.
Why don't you say aleinu on Yom Kippur? Because there's no break, because it's continual. Because you go one to the other, to the other, to the other.
But we don't do that anymore.
If you take a break, a Rebbe of mine once said we should really say aleinu if you take a break on Yom Kippur, because it's the end, you're stopping.
Yeah. So correct. I mean, we don't do that. I think you're 100% right. Aleinu is not connected to our tefillah. I mean, aleinu is before you leave shul, you should say aleinu. In other words, it's so when you come to daven mincha mariv in one shot, so you don't have to say it after mincha. It actually makes much more sense to the way that custom, and Frank, I don't know if it originated as a Yekisha custom, but I was not in Germany. I think I was in London with the first time I saw it after my year in yeshiva, you know. So I you know, at first I really didn't know what was going on. Why are they skipping aleinu? The amaratzim here, the ignorant people, you know, that's what a young schnook might think. But of course, then you understand what aleinu is based on, leaving the shul. Okay, but Ashrei is clearly given great importance. Now, why? Let's discuss. Why is an alphabetical acrostic important? And why, in other words, why does saying it three times a day? So we've mentioned alphabetical acrostics here and there. So by the way, where else do we have an alphabetical acrostic in our davening? So in our daily davening, nowhere.
One of the Pesukei Simra of Shabbat.
Right. If you think Ashrei is the only alphabetical acrostic in our daily davening. On Shabbos, we have it in Kel Adon, and we have a backwards one in Musaf, Pikanta Shabbat.
Pikanta Shabbos, right.
Right. So that's a backwards acrostic. We'll have to get there. Why? And of course, I think it may come as a surprise. Wait a minute. It's the only one in their daily davening. It's all over the place. And it's in every piyut, almost every piyut, is an alphabetical acrostic. Now,
acrostic.
Yeah, Marty, you want to ask something? Right, Hamir Lar. Oh, thank you very much. You corrected me. Correct. Thank you very much. I wasn't even thinking of that. Oh boy. Okay, Yasher Koach. Yeah, it's not exactly the same, but you are 100% right. After Yishtabach, we say Hameir La'aretz, and we say, here, let me open up my sitter. That's why you learn, that's good. You meet the students before you get the shir. Okay. El Baruch Adol De'ah Herinu Pazar Rechama Tov Yatzar Kavod Yishmo Anotans Baruzo. Correct. That's an alphabet, but it's not a versed alphabetical acrostic. I think your point is very well taken, but again, it's not exactly the same as Ashrei. By the way, this I did not know, and I haven't looked into it, but there are only six alphabetical acrostics in all of Sefer Tehillim. You know, you might think there'd be a lot more. Out of 150, you know, chapters in Tehillim, only six of them. 119 is the most famous, the one that has an eight alphabetical acrostic, but it's not such a common technique. In other words, there's something special about it. And in the time of the Talmud, none of the PO team existed. Everything we say, Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, we weren't saying any of that stuff. So Ashrei was really special as an alphabetical acrostic with an entire verse. That entire chapter of Tehillim has an alphabetical acrostic. So why is that? Why is that so important?
Why is what important?
I'm sorry?
Why is what important?
An alphabetical acrostic. The Gemara makes a big deal. Half the reason you get into the Olam Haba is because Ashrei is an alphabetical acrostic. That's what the Gemara says. Why do you get three times a day? So the Gemara gives two half reasons, but it's half a reason. And two half reasons is even a whole reason. So there's something special. The Gemara obviously considers alphabetical acrostic. And even when it rejects that answer as complete, that's only because we have a better alphabetical acrostic. If all you're concerned about is the alphabet, So of course, that's great, but say Tehillim 119. So the Gemara clearly feels there's a connection between going to Olam Haba and saying praises of God through every letter of the alphabet. So that's, I just want to know why. So of course it is the idea, every letter, we praise God all we can, but it's really, and I think it's...
It helps people remember.
Yes, it'll that's be, true, but that's not... Yeah, you mean because people didn't have a sitter, so it's right. Very nice of the person.
It's
you're
going to
get Olam Haba, but that's only good the person who composes the prayer. He gets Olam Haba because he makes it easy for everybody. I that's for sure true, but it doesn't really explain the Gemara going to Olam Haba. That's another reason there's an alphabetical acrostic. So I think really what it boils down to, what we've alluded to in other times, we mentioned it's we can't properly praise God. So we praise God, you know, we sort of say symbolically all the letters. But what that means, I believe, is that it teaches our humility. Saying an alphabetical acrostic is a notion that we humble ourselves as we recognize we're incapable of praising God. In other words, the idea is that as the Gemara often says, who are we to praise God? We don't know how to praise God. And we've told the story many times, a person who got up and kept going on and on how great God is. And when he finished, said, are you done? That's it. So the alphabetical acrostic is a message to man that there's so much more that we're supposed to praise and we cannot do it. So we're going to symbolically do it. Now we know humility is probably the most important trait to develop in one's, you know, character. I mean, there are a lot of important traits. Why do we say it's probably the most important? For two reasons. One, it's the only trait the Torah uses to describe Moshe. Okay, so maybe we want Aaron's traits better. Okay, whatever. But still, the fact that Ish Moshe Haya Anav Mikol Adam Asher Apnei Adama, that Moses was the most humble of people who ever lived, that doesn't mean he didn't know he was great. It means how he used his talents. He recognized where they come from and what the purpose of his talents are. A humble person doesn't, it's not humility like the stories of the Chafetz Chaim, you know, to talk Lashon Hara about himself. It's not humble to say you're a nobody. You have to be great to be a nobody, you know. Humility means I recognize my talents and I'm going to use my talents appropriately to make this world a better place. And I recognize my talents come from God. You know, I was blessed with great intelligence. I was born into a family with tremendous wealth, so I can give a lot of charity. I was, you know, given educational opportunities that people weren't given. I was, so it's that a humble person recognizes his success is not through him, that everything in life is dependent on other people. Nobody can be successful on their own. It's impossible. We are dependent on so many factors. I mean, that's what COVID proved to us. Out of the blue, you know, people get knocked off, nothing to do with anything they did, for good and for bad. So an alphabetical acrostic in my mind is a sign of humility. And, that's what the Gemara is saying. The second reason, of course, humility we know is so important is the Rambam uses it as only one of two character traits in which we should not be moderate. A Jew should be moderate. Extremism is really bad. Extremism is really bad. It destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. That's the extremist. We unfortunately are living in a world of great extremism. It's very, in my opinion, very, very problematic. The extremes, you know, the middle ground is being lost. Moderate people we can disagree, and so moderation, the Shvil Hasav, is very, very important, except in two areas. Anger, which is fascinating. You should never get angry. The Rambam writes, that's one of the exceptions. We shouldn't be. Sometimes you get angry if you have a good reason. That was Moshe's downfall, perhaps. This week's Parsha, Bet Hanan al Hashem, Moshe couldn't get in. Probably he was a little hot-headed. He for sure was. I mean, he saw the Egyptian, he killed him right away. It's Moshe's great. That's, he had to work on that hard, and he didn't complete it 100%. So, anger is one area where we're not supposed to be moderate. And the second area is in humility. Ma'od ma'od havish farur. Be very, very humble. We don't say be very, very spendthrift. We don't say that. But when it comes to being humble, you have to be very little. I mentioned the idea of the Vilna Gaon. The Gemara says that, a Talmud Chacham has to have a shmini chebashminit of gaiva. A Torah scholar has to have an eighth of an eighth of arrogance, gava, because you won't be great if you don't think you're great. In other words, to be the risk of humility is that risk that I'm a nobody, so you know I'm not going to accomplish anything if I'm a nobody. So no, you have to have You have to have a little bit. Now, an eighth of an eighth, we don't know what that means. It sounds like it's a little. That's probably what it means. An eighth of an eighth is very little. But if it's an eighth of an eighth of Elon Musk's wealth, that's a lot of money. You know, like, what's an eighth of an eighth? So the Vilna Gaon has a cute word that he says an eighth of an eighth. What's the eighth verse of the eighth parsha in the Torah? Anybody know? So what's the eighth parsha in the Torah? I don't think this is the real pshat, but it's a cute idea. Yeah, count. Bereshi, Noach, Lech Lecha.
Vayishlach.
Vayishlach. What's the eighth pasuk beginning of Vayishlach? Katonti mikol ha-chasidim mikol ha-met. Yaakov Avinu. I'm a nobody.
Some say katonti is revi, not as lagerish.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not looking in the Chumash, and I'm not at all a Balkore. But isn't it as lagerish? No? It's Riv Katonti, no, I Katonti, Mikol. That's how I remember it. No, whatever it is. But being humble is very important. So that's the first thing you see that. Now, Poteach et Yadecha, that the second reason, because that's to provide people's needs. That's amazing. That's the most important thing we can do. That's the real mitzvah of Staka. You know, thank God, I would say, in a way, most of us in North America, I don't know how to phrase this exactly, if we ever have a class in Hilchot Staka, we don't really give Staka most of it. I guess we do through our taxes, and that's a whole other question, how taxes Staka. Because it's not really Staka to give money to, even giving to Torah in Motion, as important as that is, we're not at Staka in the classical halakhic sense of helping people food and clothing. That's what Staka is. You look in the Ramah, in the Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchot Staka, the Ramah writes a Jew is supposed to give between 10 and 20% of their net income. That's a bottom line. So the Ramah writes, but what counts as Staka? He says only food for the poor or clothing. To give to education, give to a yeshiva, to give to, that doesn't count. That's another mitzvah. It's an important mitzvah. It's not Staka. Staka means to help people with their basic needs, food and clothing. That's what it means. Now, Baruch Hashem, today, most of that staka is taken care of, at least in the Western world. It's not 100%. There are people who are hungry here, but often that's sort of their choice. Okay, we're not going to get into those social issues, but you understand that we have a welfare state, Baruch Hashem, and we provide for people, and that's our taxes. So there is a communal notion of staka. So most of our real halakhic staka needs, even though we don't really have a choice, are paid through our taxes. But that's what it is. Our taxes are staka. I mean,
what about hospitals?
Yeah. So giving to a hospital would probably be a little bit more, right? Would be a higher form of staka than, let's say, giving to a Torah institution. I'm not even saying which is necessarily more important. Could be there's a very, when you're, you know, in the society we live in, maybe the most important staka, quote unquote, is day school education, because that's the future of the Jewish people. And so many people can't afford it. And, the experiment that Chat proved it, you know, where I teach, the school went from 1,537 kids in 2008 to 874 kids in 2016 or so. They lost an entire school. They lost, you know, close to 700 kids in 6-7 years because the recession hit. Tuition was nearing $30,000, and who could afford that? And most of the parents who sent their kids to school were not observant. It's a community school, so you know, it's nice. My kid gets Jewish education, but I'm not going to spend the $30,000. And that's with, for one kid. You got two kids, $60,000. That's insane. I can buy a new car every year. So enrollment dropped, and then the family gave $15 million on condition that tuition be dropped $10,000 across the board for 5 years, which whatever, I won't get into how that worked. It wasn't quite, whatever, it worked. They had to close a branch. It worked. And the school is bursting at the seams now, because they used to have two branches, but then they closed them because they had two half branches. So now this year we're nearing 1,300 kids, and they don't have room in the school, and they've applied to the city of Toronto to expand where we are, because that's just $10,000. It's still expensive. Now it's $18,900 this year for tuition. Still very expensive, but compared to, I think, high schools in New York, it's pretty inexpensive. So maybe that's the most important to give, but it's not staka in the classical sense. Staka means poteach et yadechu masvi'a lechocha ritzon, to give food. But thank God, most of that is taken into account today. But what do we say in Shuvah? No, that's what we say before. Yain lekidush patla orchim utzakala aniim. By the way, it's right patla orchim yain lekidush alavdala. It's always food. So that's why potecha jedecha is so important. And these two ideas, the alphabetical acrostic, praising God with every fiber that we have in our body. That's the idea. With every letter should praise God. We can't say every letter. So we symbolically take the entire alphabet and we praise God, teaching us the importance of humility. And of course, a person who's humble is going to share his money much more. But right, the arrogant people, it's all mine. I earned it. That's what do I have to give it for? I pay taxes. Believe me, I worked as an accountant for 10 years. And it's really, I worked at the non-Jewish firms and Jewish ones also, but it was like unbelievable. You really, really see that Jews give more money than non-Jews. Of course, there are exceptions. Bill Gates, Warren Buffett are unbelievable, amazing. But overall, and you see, I pay taxes. My marginal tax rate is close to 50%. Well, why should I give any charity? So they give. They give. They don't give $18, but they give whatever to their, the cancer research. Very, very nice. A little bit. I remember when I was working, when there was a Chinese woman working with us, and she came to me one day and she said, why do so many people give $18? $180? She couldn't figure out, like, why in the world would people give like $180? It makes absolutely no sense. But okay. Anyway, but a humble person is more likely to give tzedakah. Okay, that's all very nice. Doesn't make any sense. I say Ashrei three times a day, so I'm going to go to Olam Haba. So of course that doesn't make any sense. At least I don't think so. So now we'll, what does it mean to say Ashrei? What does it mean? It means to act Ashrei. What does it mean to act Ashrei? So
we're killed it.
Yes.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
You said that one of the reasons why it's an acrostic is to show that we praise God with every letter of the alphabet. Right. So why is Nun missing?
It's coming. It's coming. Probably not today. We probably won't get there today. Why is Nun missing is not simple at all. We're going to correct. Fine. It's an important question, but not for now. Okay. So basically, listen, as the Rambam writes, we don't know anything about God. We can't understand God. So whatever the Torah tells us about God is telling us about man. In other words, we have to imitate God. There's Rav Soloveitchik said the overarching idea of the Torah is the halachta bidrachav. You have to walk in the paths of God. The Gemara, Zota, Shabbos, in various places. Mahu rachum, apata rachum. The same way God is merciful, we should be merciful. The same way God is kind, we should be kind. That's one Gemara. And then there's another Gemara. The same way God feeds, clothes the naked by Adam. The same way God visits the sick by Abraham. The same way God buries the dead by Moshe. I'm missing one. He heals he visits those right who are sick, right? You have to do that. In other words, one of them is God's character, merciful, kind. One of them is God's action, that God visits the sick, buries the dead, feeds the needy, right? He gives food. So we have to imitate God. The reason we know that is an obligation for man. Man's obligation is to imitate God. That's what it means. We're created in God's image. We're Tzelem Elohim. That's exactly what it means. So I think what the Gemara really means is whoever says Ashrei three times a day, when do you say it? This saying is meaningless. Whoever acts on Ashrei. So what does that mean, act on Ashrei? So let's just go a few simple examples, and then we'll bring up the screen. Chanun v'rachum. You have to be merciful, kind and merciful. Tov, Hashem l'chol. You have to be good to everybody. Somech noflim, you have to help those who have fallen, people who are in need. Poteach et yedech, you got to open your hand to people. Karav lekol karav, you have to be close to whoever needs. So that's what the Gemara is saying. Whoever says Ashrei means he acts like God acts. He's close to people, he helps people, he's chanun rachum, tov lekol. That then you're guaranteed a share in the world to come. Now, that's what I think that Gemara means. Now, what is the basic theme of Ashrei?
Praising God.
So Ashrei, I'll say one way, it goes through, if you take a look, you can open up your Siddur, but we'll show it on the screen in a couple of minutes. There are really two motifs going back and forth. It's praising God. I'm sorry?
acknowledging of Hashem.
Correct. Praising God. It praises God and it describes God. They're not exactly the same. In other words, I will praise you every day, God. And then Gadol Hashem Mulamud, God is great. In other words, it's what we do and what God does. It's a sort of, again, a discussion. We've seen this a lot, sort of a back and forth. Dor l'dor yishabach masecha gvurtechi. We will praise you. Hadar kavod hodecha. We will say your great glory. Divrei niflotecha asicha. Your wondrous way we'll discuss, etc. And then we describe chanun v'rachum Hashem. In other words, we describe what we do, and then God, or maybe we do it because the way God acts. So it's this back and forth, this duet sort of between praising God and describing God and going through it. Okay, so that's just as a very overview. So let's, before we start Ashrei, now notice, of course, the Gemara didn't call it Ashrei. The Gemara called it Tehillah Levit. So why does the Gemara call it Tehillah Levit and not Ashrei?
Because the first two sentences are from elsewhere.
That's correct, because there is no Ashrei. This is
it's from the previous parak in
Tehillah. One of them is from the previous chapter. So let's take a look. Ashrei Yoshvei Beitecha Oji Halalucha Sela. Where's that from? That's not from the previous chapter. That's from Tehillim Pei Dalet. Why don't we take a look? And then Ashrei Am Shegalo is not. And there's a third verse in Ashrei that's not from Tehillah LeDavid. Tehillah LeDavid is where it begins. That's what they. My understanding, I don't know the exact date. I know El Bogan talks about it in his book. I forget. I think it's the 12th century. It's a later edition. Ashrei, that wasn't what they said originally. Tehillah LeDavid, they said. That Mizmor 145. And then sometime in the Middle Ages, the two verses of Ashrei got added in. It became so important. We call it Ashrei. It's a misnomer. What's the third verse that's not part of Tehillim 145?
The last one.
Last one, very good. Okay, v'anachnu nivarechim et avadam hallelujah, and that of course comes from. Where does that verse come from? We all know it, but right, we don't think of it. Everybody knows it here for sure.
Hallelujah.
Right, so it's the last in Hallel. What's that telling us? Of course, that Ashrei is a form of all of Sugis Yirmas Hallel, but we end with this idea of Hallelujah, Anachnu Barachim, pulling it from Hallel, that Ashrei is our daily form of Hallel. That's the main thing. And it's the last verse because we want to end with Hallelujah, because the five Hallelujahs, 146 to 150, begins with Hallelujah. So that's a very common idea, linking the previous to the next. We discussed last week how Yehi Chavod introduces Ashrei and the five Hallelujahs, the parallelism. So the authors of the Siddur brought a pasuk. Now, I don't know if you went to a typical grade 7 class in a modern Orthodox school and they asked the kids, how many of the pasukim in Ashrei don't come from Tehillim? I'm guessing half of them will give you a blank stare. Because one of my, unfortunately, the Siddur is very rarely taught in schools. It's mumbled and murmured and whatever said every day, but it's really taught. And I don't know. I'd be interested to do a survey. How many people actually know that the first two verses in Ashrei and the last one is not really part of Ashrei, or it's not a part of Tehillah LeDavid. Anyways, that's just side. I don't really know. But, of course, here we're dealing with a more advanced audience, obviously. Okay, now, so let's take a look at Ashrei 84, the verse Ashrei Yoshvei Beitecha Oji Halucha Sela. That's always interesting. If the rabbis are adding in a verse, that's not what I want to do. Where are they getting it from? Why are they adding this particular verse? Right, so here, let's go right here. That's wrong. I don't know what I did here. Okay, let me come back. I have to share screen, that's why. Okay, so let's go to Tehillim 84. Everybody sees my screen properly? Tehillim 84. Okay. So Lamatzeach, it's very interesting. Livnei Korach Mizmor. Lamatzeach Agiti Livnei Korach. We have a few Tehillim with Livnei Korach. The most famous one being before the shofar blowing on Rosh Hashanah. We say Lemasech Nitei Korach Mizmor seven times. Before Shofar, that makes a lot of sense because Bnei Korach was the machloka, the disunity, and the Shofar is the call to the Jewish people to unite. That's what the Shofar really is. The Ba'akil et Ha'am. When you gather the people, you blow the Shofar. The Shofar is a unified form. You have like a Tekiah. I know it's not yet Rosh Hashanah. It's not even Elul yet, but the Tu B'Av. We're 2 weeks to Elul. So, you know, the tekiah is the unified sound and the true is the broken sound. The true is our machloket, the debates we have. That's fine. That's great. As long as you have a tekiah at the beginning and a tekiah at the end, you can have all the shvarim and true as you want in the middle. So that's, so Korach, who represents sort of the opposite, the B'nai Korach, who did tshuva, who didn't die. So that's the notion of shofar, why that means more is connected to shofar. That's a one idea. Anyways. So, but here it's talking about the to sit with Mayedidot. We know that on Friday night. Mayedidot Mishkanotecha Hashem Tzavaot. How lovely is your dwelling place? I want to dwell with God. I yearn for the courts of the Lord. Right. Gam Tzipor Matzabait. Even the bird finds a house. Udror, that's, I don't know, different drawer yikra levainim bat. Right. Asher Shetav Rachecha Hashem Tzavaot Malkiv Elohai. We'll get, by the way, Malkiv Elohai, that expression. That expression doesn't appear very often. Malkiv Elohai. So that also comes from Ashrei. And then Ashrei Ashrei Vetecha Ojehaluch Masela. Blessed are the people who dwell in your house. So it's the idea that it's coming from this mizmor about the yearning to be close to God. It's David HaMelech, what he says, we're going to start to say, Achad Shu'alti Meit Hashem, Oto Avakesh, right? That's what he says in Tehillim. And we say every day once Elul begins. So Ashrei Ashrei Techa is the yearning of, I mean, we know that, but it's just interesting to see it in the verse. It's the yearning to be with God. Now, the Gemara interprets the, here, Hasidim HaRishonim Ayushom. Everybody can see it when I switch. Did it switch on your screens too? Yeah. The Hasidim HaRishonim, I think this is a well-known piece. The pious people used to wait 1 hour. I don't know if it means it literally, because I don't know when they did anything else. If they davened for an hour before they davened, and then at the end of davening, so the Gemara says, how do we know this? It's very interesting. The Gemara uses this verse to teach us the importance of what we had in Camp Mosheva, Daka B'Sheket. You know, they had a Sha'a B'Sheket, a whole hour where Ashrei Yoshrei Beitecha. First, you sit in the house, just relax, sit down in God's house, and then and then you can begin the Hallel, right? And that's where it says, Amar Yeshua ben Levi, this is like crazy, almost. Amipelot Sarich, the one who davens is obligated. Yeshua Sha'achat. So we assume Sha'achat can be a little bit of time. Like we have a halakha, a Tosefet Shabbos. You have to add on to Shabbos. How much? Whatever you want. 1 minute, 60 minutes, 18 minutes. It really doesn't matter. Same thing on Yom Kippur, where it's actually where it originates from. We're not given a time amount. So whatever. But he says everybody has to wait a little bit. I don't want to say it's an hour. If it does, then we don't follow this Gemara. Nobody follows this Gemara. Then, so here, it's interesting. I see here they do translate 1 hour. Okay, Shah, before. Shachar achar tfilato. Okay, so we had before, and then Rabbi Yeshua and Levi is answering after, and then Tanya Namihaka, we learn the same thing. And we fell at Sarishi Shia Shachar Kodam tfilato, an hour before, a time period after. Shenemar Ashrei Ashrei Beitecha. Okay, very nice. So that's what the Gemara teaches us. So this is like a pretty well Ashrei Ashrei Beitecha, just dwelling in God's house in silence. You know, we've lost the ability to be quiet, right? We live in such a noisy world, right? That's the beauty of Shabbat, to relax in the world, especially those who live in urban areas, you know, noise pollution, quiet. You know, the people used to go, you know, in the Hasidim, I don't know, they tell the story, they would go in the desert and meditate or in the forest, you know. The idea of Ashrei Yoshvei Beitecha separately from before you actually then go and praise God. Now, where's God's house? Where's God's real house? Where's God's house? That's not
the Beit HaMikdash.
The Beit HaMikdash. How do you know that? Good. Excellent. Ki beiti beit tefila, yikarei l'chol amim, v'aviyotim al har kodshi v'simachtim beit tefilati. I will bring you to my holy mountain and rejoice with you beit tefilati. That we quoted that many weeks ago. The Gemara from that pasuk derives the notion that God prays. But ki beiti, my house, God is talking through Yeshayahu. Ki beiti beit tefila, yikarei l'chol amim. So the Gemara interprets the verse literally. Very anthropomorphistically, however you pronounce that, right? That God prays. Ki beiti beit tefila. My house is house of prayer. Now again, what does that mean? What do you mean God prays? God prays is heresy, you realize. According to the Rambam, to say God prays would be a heretical statement. So that means God has needs, right? Right? If God has needs. Because you only pray if you have needs. So how can that be? So, right? So it means if God prays, man has to pray. Yes, in Kabbalistic terms, God has certain needs. He needs the Jewish people. He can't be a king without subjects, whatever the mean. But the idea is if God prays, we pray. Now, of course, what's God's prayer? And this for sure is a message for a man. What's God's prayer? The Gemara in Brachot 7b, this is why review is always so. That's why I like to review all the time. I'm sorry. I hope people don't mind. I like to, you know, what is the Gemara? The Gemara there says, you know what God's prayer is? That his mercy should overpower his anger, and that he should act lifnim mishurat hadin, because that one or two prayers, and he should act above the call of duty. He should have rachamim. You know, the Jewish people, they deserve to be punished. You know, parent, the kids deserve to be punished. But okay, what can I do? You know, you have to understand what do you want from us, God? We're human beings. You created us. It's all your fault. Right. So that's God's prayer, but it's obviously man's prayer. But anyways, the house of God is the Beit HaMikdash. Ashrei Yoshrei Beitecha, the place where dwelling is to be in God's presence, and God's presence in his house is, of course, in the Beit HaMikdash. Achat Shualti Beveit Me'et Hashem, Oto Avakei Shifti Beveit Hashem, Kol Yimei Chayai. Let me dwell in the house of God all my days, which for David HaMelech, has sort of an added twist. Of course, David HaMelech wanted to build the Beit HaMikdash, and he was unable to. So he couldn't really shifti v'veit Hashem kol yimei chayai. We say our shuls are a mikdash ma'at, right? Are a miniature temple. But the real McCoy, how our shuls like in the cottage. Some people have really nice cottages, I know. But the house, the mansion, the beautiful house, that's the Beit HaMikdash. Okay, so that's the first verse. Now, by the way, I'll just point out El Bogan, you know, I don't know if I've ever shown this to you. This is El Bogan's book. It was printed in German. I believe he was a Reform rabbi. And this is like the classic scholarly work on the history of the synagogue and the history of our prayers. And it's got a lot of very good stuff in it. And so he says, of course, Ashrei Yoshrei Techa, it's interesting, he points out, it doesn't make sense to say it in the middle of davening. Like we just said, before you daven, the Hasidim Rishonim, an hour before, Ashrei Yoshrei Techa should be said right at the beginning of the davening. Like before, he's not claiming we should do that. He said, like the way we do it at Mincha. Ashrei Yoshrei Beitecha, that's what we do at Mincha. But in Shachrit, like, we've been davening for, I don't know, 8 minutes already? For 43 weeks, we've been davening till we get to Ashrei. But what it really means is that now we're really starting our davening. Everything up to now has been the introduction. Just like Shmona Esrei, I mean, there's the sort of ultimate goal. The first goal is Ashrei, and everything is a lead up to saying Ashrei, and then the hallelujahs are a response to Ashrei. So Ashrei is the pinnacle, and that's why we mentioned last week. Somebody came to me in shul in Toronto last week. They said, thank you for mentioning what you do when you come late to shul. And they said, yeah, it's best not to come late to shul, right? But as we mentioned, when you come late to shul and you can only see one parak of Tehillim, it's Ashrei Yoshrei Beitecha. You skip everything else and you say Ashrei. Even if you can't say Baruch Shemar Yishabat, you still say Ashrei. That's the most important thing. Okay. Ashrei Am Shekachalo. Ashrei Am Shemolhav. This is the second added verse. Where does this come from? I really hope I'm going to get to our screen today. Okay. I want to show you Ashrei. Maybe I won't. I don't know. What does it mean? Ashrei Am. Blessed is the people Shekachalo. That this is it. This is that has this. Ashrei Am Shemolhav. Blessed is the people, the nation that God is their Lord is their God. What's Shekachalo mean? What's that referring to? Blessed is the nation that they have this. What's this? What's the context of this? Right? Happy are the people that, right, are reading out of the RCA Siddur. Happy is that also. Well, what's this?
All right, Judaism.
So the Siddur Otzer HaTfilot quotes, I read it and I smiled. He quotes the commentary. What this is sitting in God's house. But and we start, Ashri Ashri Techo Ajiluch Asela. Blessed is the people who can sit in Joel's house and sit and then can praise God. Wow. Blessed are the nation who has that ability to go sit, maybe either in the Beit HaMikdash or in a shul to praise God. So I laughed when I read that commentary. Why did I laugh? But I think there's.
You were at home.
I wasn't home? No.
You were at home.
I laughed because it, of course, makes no sense. Now he knows that too. Why does it make no sense? Because this is from Tehillim 84 and this is Tehillim 144. They have nothing to do with each other. These two additions, which are added to Tehillim David, Ashrei and Ashrei, those two lines have nothing to do with each other. The first one here, let me show you the Ashrei 144, right? This Tehillim, we started with 84, the desire to sit in God's house. Now let's take a look at 144. So it's like you can't say that Ashrei Am Shekachalo refers to Tehillim 60 Tehillims earlier, right? That was Tehillim 84. Now we're Tehillim 144, right? Here you have it. It's the last verse. It's the lead up to Ashrei, right? Or not to Ashrei, to Tehillah Levit. Ashrei Am Shekachalo is the end of 144 and 145 Tehillah Levit. But to say that this refers to Tehillim 84 is really, really strange. We'll get there in a moment. How can somebody say such a thing? In other words, it's so ridiculous. There must be something deeper to it, right? It makes no sense, right? I think, but I just find, by the way, you'll recognize part of this Tehillim, right? Tehillim 144. It's short. I think Hashem Amadam Vatedeu Benan of Yitachashveu. That's what the angel said, right? Why creating man? He's a nobody, right? Adam Lehevel Dama. Man is like nobody. These are relatively well-known psukim, and of course, the most well-known pasuk in this chapter is Hanotein Shuala Malachim, Apotzeh David of Zamechera. This, of course, is the introduction to the prayer for the governments, we say, for the not Israel, but, you know, all the other governments. Hanotein Shuala Malachim, God gives victory to the kings, the rescue, Apotzeh David of Zamechera. It's very interesting, even though it refers to a Jewish idea. And then then it talks about all these wonderful things. Our sons are like saplings, well tendered in their youth, right? So we have tons of food. We're overflowing with food. So nenu, our produce, malifot, merubot, bechutzotenu, thousands. We've got tens of thousands of flock and cattle. We're multimillionaires. Alufenu, misubalim, and our animals ain't parrots. There's no parents. There's no breaking down of the walls. There's no crying. Everybody has a wonderful life. Berchotenu. Ashrei ha'am shekachalo. Wow, blessed is the nation that has all this wonderful thing. The economy's working, people get along, the government is stable, everything is wonderful. That's Ashrei Am Shekachalo. It has nothing to do with Ashrei Ashrei Vitecha. So obviously, why is he saying such a comment? Saying such a comment because, yes, it's true, in Tehillim they have nothing to do with each other. But the authors of the Siddur put them together. In other words, whoever put together our Siddur decided to enclose these two psukim. Now, they are related. We clearly want to relate them because they both say Ashrei, right? Obviously, the authors wanted to take verses that say Ashrei. So they said Ashrei Ashrei Vitecha and Ashrei Am Shekachalo, right? That's clearly what they were doing. So if you take the two psukim out of context, which is what our Siddur is doing, then it makes a lot of sense. Ashrei Am Shekachalo. Blessed is the nation that has all this. All this refers to the sitting in God's home. Ashrei Ashrei Oji Halalucha Gasela. So that's what it has to be. So just, we haven't even really gotten the Ashrei. But, okay. So that's, and it's really two ideas. Ashrei Am Shekachalo. Ashrei Am Shehashem Elohav. Blessed is the people that God is, you know, our God. We have a close relation to God, just like the first verse. Ashrei Yashrei Vitecha, dwell in God's house, Sha'achar. And then a second idea, Oji Halalucha Gasela. Okay, what I wanted to do, but I think I'm going to leave that till next week. I maybe I'll just show you for half a second, I want to go through Ashrei. I go through part of it, but let me just show you one idea. I thought I would get there a little earlier, but maybe I won't show it. So how the themes, let's put this, your quote unquote homework. I don't expect anyone to do any homework. But we're going to divide Ashrei into four major themes, and we're going to look. I'll just point to one idea now. Fine, I'll show it. I did one idea. Look at the word kol. Tov Hashem l'chol v'rachamav. Yiruch Hashem kol masecha. Malchut malchut kol olamim. Sumach Hashem l'chol hanoflim. Enei kol elechich b'yipadech. Mamashvi l'chol chai ratzon. Tzedik Hashem b'chol drachav. Karav l'chol karav. Right? For some reason, we have to figure out Ritzoni Revav doesn't have the word kol. Shomer Shemet kol oavav. Vivrech kol basar. Okay, we'll pick up on that theme. That's what we'll pick up on next week. But you see right away, that's, of course, in any literature, in any poetry, you look for a recurring word. So obviously the word kol is a very important idea of Ashrei. So after, what's right? And of course, how do we end Tehillim? Kol hanshama, hallelujah, hallelujah, right? That's the notion of how we call. So kol becomes a key theme that, again, we don't know what the major themes are going about, that you just see right away. It's pretty much from the middle on, every single pasuk has kol in it. Okay, let me see. Let me do a quick review. It's a little bit early, because if once I start going through the Ashrei, it really pays in the 5 minutes we have left. Let me just do a quick review and a short idea maybe on the parsha and see if there are any questions. Okay, so we're getting to the real McCoy of davening. Ashrei Ashrei V'techa. That's what Ashrei Ashrei V'techa. We walk into God's house. So this is the beginning of our Tehillim. Everything has led up to it. Yichavod, Baruch Shemar, the introduction. Praising God is through Ashrei. It's so important that it's your ticket to Olam Haba. That because it's an alphabetical acrostic and it talks about God feeding the needy. Now, obviously, who cares? I mean, not who cares, but that's not just to mumble a few words. That's a very un-Jewish idea. I know, and we can't take these things. The Rambam writes, take Midrashim literally. Only a fool takes things literally. Obviously, the rabbis aren't telling us to mumble a few words and get into Olam Haba. Because you have to imitate Ashrei. We have to be like God. And so that's why Ashrei has this dual component. It talks about what God does. God is good. God is Chanun Brachum. He's Karov L'Kol Karav. But most of it is our praising of God. But when it talks about we're going to get Olam Haba by saying Ashrei, means by doing, we have there's Amira, there's a halachic discussion, the saying create a halakhic ramifications, whatever actions, but it means to do things. And we said it also represents the idea of the alphabetical acrostic, represents the idea of being humble. We really can't praise God properly. So we follow what the rabbis tell us to say in the Siddur. Can't do it properly. We'll do our best. So we symbolically praise God with every letter. Zev, we'll have to get to next week why the Nun is missing. It's not so simple. The Gemara has, again, a reason that's where I cut off our discussion. We'll pick up. But again, the Gemara is not so simple to understand what the Gemara means. Please God, we'll pick up on that next week. And then we talked about mainly the three additional psukim. Tehillah David is the Mizmor, but we add two verses at the beginning. The dwelling in God's house. God's house is a temple. The idea to be close to God. David HaMelech, Achat Shualti, Me'et Hashem. I just want to be Shifti B'Veit Hashem, which of course is Beit HaMikdash, which for David was a big deal. And of course, there's really the whole Rav Soloveitchik's idea that we mentioned on another occasion, that joy, Simcha, comes from being in the presence of God, the closeness of God. So that's what Ashrei is, the yearning of man to be close to God. Many of us don't have that yearning. It's hard to have that yearning. It's not a simple thing to have. That's why happy. But the Gemara, Ashrei doesn't mean this is your obligation. It means how happy are those? That's what the word means. How happy are those who can succeed to do it? Most people can't succeed to do it. But if you feel closeness to God, right? Very often on Yom Kippur, Rav Soloveitchik didn't eat for 5 hours after Yom Kippur. I know myself, after Yom Kippur, I don't want to read the newspaper. I don't want to listen to the radio. I'm sort of in another world. And there's a certain joy that one can have if one can feel the presence of God. It's very hard to do. We're supposed to do it a little bit on Shabbos, Mayan Olam Abba. But Ashrei is just saying, not that we have to do it, is those who are fortunate to be able to sit in God's house, just sit and relax, and then give praise Wow, how blessed are they? And then blessed is this nation that has this. In the context of Tehillim, it means they have what blessings, economic prosperity, political stability, you know, all the wonderful things, peace, etc. In the context of Ashrei, the Ashrei Am Shekachalo means blessed is the nation that has the ability to sit in God's in his presence. Okay. Let me just, and then we said the Gemara uses this verse to, you have to pause, you have to take time before and after. It's something we're really bad at. It's like the Rav said, Yazan Al-Shuva, it's so true. The Rav said, Baruch, and the Rav is probably this, I am assuming this is probably 60 years old, right? The Rav, his Tshuva Drushes, is one of the Tshuva, it was printed, you know, in Pinchas Peli's book, Al-Tshuva, which was printed in the 79 or 80. And so I don't know if he gave this Drush in 71 or 64, whenever it was, but the Rav talked about how we have Baruch Hashem in America today. You know, America was used to be a desert. We have many Jews, Baruch Hashem, who are Shomer Shabbat. For Soloveitchik says, what we don't have in America are Jews who are Shomer Erev Shabbat. That we don't have. People rush home, you know, in the wind. And I'm not saying it. I don't know. He was saying it in a critical way. You know, he said, like, in Israel, you have Jews who are Shomer of Shabbat. Half the country doesn't work on Friday. You go, you know, you're in Israel. Ilana, you're in Israel, right? You know, it's Friday. It's Shabbos is coming. But in America, it's very different. But to be Shomer Shabbos, to be Shomer Erev Shabbos, to sit in silence, to prepare. I don't do it. I know, say Shir HaShirim before, you know, to come to Shul early. What's Kabbalah Shabbos? That's what Kabbalah Shabbos really is. So I guess we built it into our system a little bit to prepare for Shabbos before we get to Shabbos. You know, Shabbos brings that Mizmor Shir. So it's how beautiful and blessed or happy are those who can develop that relationship with God. And that's what we try to do through saying Ashrei. Okay. Thank you. Let me just see any questions. Who said the eighth of an eighth? Okay, privately, yes. So that was the Vilna Gaon. That's the, I heard it when I remember from high school, the Shemini Sheva Shemini Katonti, the be a little. But it's true. You need a little bit of arrogance. You really do. Because if you don't think you're great, the Al-Chait, there's an Al-Chait for thinking we're too great, and there's an Al-Chait if you don't think highly enough. Hashem is 26 in Gematria. That's interesting, Zev. You want to compare so the 26 generations to God's name? I don't know. I never thought of it, but it could be. I don't know. The Noten Lechem L'chol Basar, the 26 generations that God kept us alive. We have a separate hospital tax. I don't know where they live. Okay. I don't think we need a special hospital tax. Anybody who lives in Canada knows that every day the newspaper emergency rooms have been closing for the last couple of weeks. Every day a new emergency room closes for 24 hours because we don't have enough staff, not enough nurses, not enough people to care. That's a big healthcare crisis we have here. Although whatever forgive me what I said, but in the editorial in the Globe and Mail the other day, the paper we get, so they were rating that Canada's rated 9th out of 11 in OECD, you know, and wait times, we're pretty low. Even though we spend more money, we have worse outcomes. And then they just wrote, of course, we're miles ahead of the worst, every year, the worst country by far in the world, the United States of America. So I'm sorry to say that, but that's what they were writing because the American healthcare, the idea of not universal healthcare, like I know to an American, you're brought up, that's your culture, but here, you know, it's like, anyways, that's okay for another discussion. Sorry about that, but that was just, but our healthcare system is in crisis and we do need a hospital tax. I would agree. You need to quiet the mind and be composed to start prayer. Absolutely. We may need a week before we can do that. I don't know if we ever can achieve that. But that's why I used to like in Camp Mosheva, we would come together. I don't know if they still do it. You know, we'd come from playing baseball and wearing our shorts. So there we would gather in shul and they'd say, Achshav natchil daka b'sheka. And they would wait for 30 seconds or so and silence and then. It is a very beautiful idea. And just to separate, I've mentioned many times, you're not allowed to learn. You're not supposed to learn before you daven. That's not for now the discussion. Learning and davening are they require two different mindsets. And the Gemara was concerned. The Gemara said, you're not, it's like halavai, you go to a shir before you daven. I don't want to, God forbid, say anybody's going to a shir. But the Gemara was concerned about if you come from a great shir and then you go to daven right away, your mind's going to be on the shir. Your mind won't be focused on prayer. So that's Interesting. Maybe we can discuss that a little more. We've mentioned it before. Okay. Chabad says the pasuk ach tzadikim. What's that pasuk? Oh, that's a pasuk for dating afterwards. Right, right. Very, very good. Yeah. Okay. I didn't know that, but okay. Chabad with their 8 branches in Las Vegas. Okay. So they say ach tzadikim after Aleinu. We mentioned Aleinu right before you go. Okay. That's it. Okay. So thank you very much. And we'll see everybody.
As I was looking, thinking about, I'll do, talking about Ashrei, I was looking at my siddur, and the preliminary section of the morning blessings, when it mentioned how fortunate we are that we can daven, and this is the first section. It says, we are fortunate, how good is our portion, how pleasant our lot, and how beautiful
our lot is. Correct. Right.
And it describes how we should feel fortunate. Correct. That we can daven.
Right.
And,
correct.
And
100% faith. Thank you. Yes.
Thank God, praise God, glorify him. And, you know, so
yeah, it's we don't, I said 100 times, if we could follow the Ramban, I wish I could all the time. Maybe sometimes I'm Zocha. The Ramban says there's no obligation to prayer. Prayer is an act of kindness that God allows us to pray. You can't talk your prime minister or Hakatronic, I want this, I want that. God says, come to me, pray 3 times a day. Beautiful, I'll accept your prayers. Tfila, he right, is gemilut chesed. It's God's kindness. It's such a beautiful idea. If we could view prayer not as an obligation to get it over with, you know, and it's hard. 3 times a day, it's very hard for modern man to pray. For good reason, because thank God, many of our needs that other generations had, we don't have as much. You know, when there's a crisis, we pray better. It's better not to have the crisis than to make prayer harder. But if we could follow the Ramban, you're right, Ashreinu shezachinu l'kach, right, and manafai yirushatenu, but it's hard, and we say it over and over again. We're right, that's what David HaMelech, these people, they're yearning. David HaMelech is yearning to be in the presence of God. Often he wasn't. David HaMelech had to get his hands dirty. The Gemara in Brachot says he had to get his hands dirty with the mundane of life. That's what leaders have to do. Yeah, it's a hard struggle. Okay, yeah. Anybody else? I think somebody else had their hand up. No? Any other questions? Happy to answer. Other? Okay. Yes. Oh, no. Okay. All right. Thank you. So please go.
Thank you.
All on Sunday. Rabbi Liebtag at 11:15, continuing Ben Yirmiyahu. And please God will continue this year next week. And I'll go through, I think it's really what I didn't share today, what I'll share next week, I actually think was really quite beautiful, how the structure of Ashrei that I had really never thought of, besides the alphabetical acrostic, that's what we'll pick up on, what we're going to divide into 4 major themes, sort of Ashrei, and how the wordplay works with that. Okay, so I just want to, you know, plug. Yeah.
Thank you. Good Shabbos, Rabbi. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, everybody.
Good Shabbos.
Happy Tuvav. Thanks.
Happy Tuvav, right. Ashrei, Tuvav, the happiest day of the year. If I finish, I started, you know, I gave my shiur on Tisha B'Av on Tuba. So I want to write that a little bit different. I hope I'll get to it. I'm halfway through. I don't know if I'll finish it before Shabbos. Lots of things, but we'll try. But yes, happy Tuba. Everybody should be happy today. It's the happiest day of the year. Happy in Yom Kippur. So everybody's, we're always supposed to be happy. I will say one thing and then I'll end the discussion. They'll have left already. I was very thankful. It was very, every once in a while, you know, I get a compliment. It's nice. And what can I say? It's nice to be complimented sometimes. Somebody walked over to me in shul the other day. I had given a Dvar Torah b'Shem Mincha Ma'ariv last week, so, and like a 2-minute Dvar Torah b'Shem Mincha Ma'ariv. So they said, I said, Mishanit Nasav Mematim B'Simcha. When Av enters, I may have said it here, you have to have less joy. So I said, you have to have joy. You just have to have less joy. Mematim B'Simcha, not no Simcha. I said, Itu Ad Hashem B'Simcha. You have to worship God with joy.
Why?
We have to worship God. We have to worship God in Av too. Jew has to worship God in Av too. So if you have to worship God in Av, you have to have joy. The only time you can have joy, God forbid, when somebody dies before the funeral, you can't worship God. Person is really sad. They can't worship God. But if you worship God, you have to be happy. And we have to worship God in Av. So we just have to have a little less than the other time. But we always have to have Simcha. The idea that we can worship God is really a tremendous joy. We don't always feel it. So somebody came over to me in shul that he had never, an older man actually, and he had never heard that, and he was so thankful. He liked that idea, whatever. So it's, I think it is powerful. The Jew should always be happy. Unfortunately, there are times, Tisha B'Av, yeah, if they said, Satam Tvilati, on Tisha, we can't really pray, but, We should be blessed to have real happy occasion. You know, we should listen. The Hasidic world turned the yahrzeit into a happy occasion. That was a pretty wild innovation that they did. Imagine turning a yahrzeit, not God forbid, when somebody passes away, but the yahrzeit should be a kiddush. They're on the Olam HaEmet. They're elevating. So it's interesting. Joy is a very important concept in Judaism, and joy and worship of God go hand in hand. Okay, with that, I think that's enough. Thank you very much for listening. And
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. And
Shabbat Shalom.
Happy Tuba. Shabbat Shalom, Rabbi.
Shabbat Shalom. Thank you,
Faye.
No problem.
We may come over later if you let us.
Oh, for sure. All the time, okay? Send a message so I make sure that you can get in the house.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, Baruch Hashem, enjoy. It's a beautiful day today.
Thank you, yes. Okay.
Bye.
Okay. Yes.
We missed you last week.
My son was laning, you mean?
Yeah.
I couldn't come. We had a guest speaker in Or Chaim because my Rabbi Ziering spoke in Or Chaim, and I had arranged that, so whatever. So I was there. So you can't dance zwei chassidim at the same time.
Oh, we invite you this week. We're having a super deluxe kiddush.
Ooh. So again, we have another speaker this week that I arranged. My brother actually called me up. So I'm going to be visiting Toronto. So he said so we're having her. So I arranged for her to speak after, the shiur after davening. So I can't come this week. But who's giving kiddush? What's the occasion?
One of our mispalalim, Arthur Falk, is giving a super. We haven't had one in 3 years.
I understand.
So this is a big deal now.
Okay.
In honor of the congregation, he has no specific reason. He just decided he was giving a kiddush.
Okay. Yes.
Anyway, you're always invited.
Okay. By the way, not there yet. Why people in America? Yeah, America, because it's privatized. You can jump the line. That's it. We have universal health. It's harder to jump. They have to wait longer. That's the problem. America, if you have money, you can jump the line. That's why Canadians sometimes will go to America to get, treatment. They'll take them 10 months here. They can get in a week there. All right. Oh, let's hear good things. Okay. Have a good Shabbos, everybody. Bye-bye.
Shabbos.